to read with me as we turn to God's Word from the book of Exodus, the fourth chapter, where we read these words. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took it hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand in his cloak, and when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. "Now put it back in your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back in his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and of tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak, and you will teach them what to say." But Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take the staff in your hand so that you can perform the signs with it." Moses was going about his regular day. I wonder what it was like. Moses, after all those years being in Egypt, now being somewhere in the fields of Midian, watching over the sheep of his father-in-law. And there he was with his staff, watching over the sheep by day and by night. Do you ever wonder if Moses thought back to the days of Egypt? If Moses recalled the time growing up in the palace, if he recalled the formal education, if he had moments where he was out in the field and a little chuckle came out of nowhere as he remembered tricks his brother, now Pharaoh, would have played on each other. Did he think about that day when he realized who he was and he was there watching over the slaves being treated so harshly, and he knocked a slave master to his death? And there in the fields of Midian, minding his own business, Moses goes out and he sees a bush and it's on fire. It wasn't burning up. It was just a glow. Do you remember the words that Moses would hear? "I am who I am. Moses, you will go to Egypt. You will say, let my people go. And you will lead the Israelites out of slavery. And there, Moses and God begin to have a dialogue. What's in your hand? It would be a staff that would defeat the Egyptian soothsayers. It would turn water to blood. It would bring forth the plagues of the frog and of the lice and of the thunder and the hail of the locusts. It would be used to part the Red Sea, and it would be used to allow the waters to crash back in again. It would be a staff that would be used to bring water from a rock to bring victory over the Amalekites. It was only a staff. But isn't it amazing what God can do with what he gives us? What God can do in us and through us when we surrender ourselves to God and his calling in our lives? Think for a moment where we may have heard that phrase again. What's in your hand? J.W. Johnson points out three stories. He says, think for a moment of the slingshot. It's only a slingshot. At best, it is a kid's toy. And what five small stones a young boy was able to take down and defeat a well-protected veteran soldier of a giant, and Israel would win that battle. What's in your hand? Jonathan would be asked that question, and it would only be a sword. But with that sword, they would defeat the Philistines. What's in your hand? It's only a pen. But to John Bunyan, it was the tool that he wrote Pilgrim's Progress that has affected millions over the centuries and still does. What's in your hand? What is the staff that God has placed in your story that he is inviting you to lay down so that he can accomplish his purpose in your life, so that he can do amazing things in your story? Maybe it's your past. Maybe it's hard feelings. Maybe it's negativity. But maybe it's a gift. Maybe it's a talent. Maybe it's a possession this morning. What's in your hand? It's a staff, Moses says. And God says, throw it down. And it turns into a snake. Not just a snake, but it turns into a cobra. Those who surveyed the hills, the shepherds, would have understood something about snakes. Let alone a cobra, they know that you don't pick it up. And God is asking Moses to step out in faith and to pick it up by the tail. And so he strategically and carefully would need to pick it up. Otherwise, he would be bitten. And so Moses cautiously, and maybe like us, reluctantly step out when God asks. And he picks up the staff. Or the snake, and it turns into a staff. That staff would have been the tool he would have used to get rid of the snake. For by the hook he would have picked it up, the cobra would have wrapped around, and he would not have gotten bitten, and he could toss the snake away, and he could carry on protecting his sheep. I was struck this week by this statement. To serve God effectively, that is, to live out the Christian faith, depend on his presence and strength, be ready for difficulty, be obedient to his commands, and be willing to work with willing people. Anything else would have been easy. Alan Carr says that to get rid of his cloak, his tunic, his sandals, his coins would have been easy. But this would have been the very tool that would keep Moses alive in the desert. To get rid of the staff would have meant death, either by thieves or by wild animals. It was his only source of true protection in the wilderness. And then Moses, hearing that call that he would go and lead Egypt out, begins to make excuses. What happens in your story when God calls you, not necessarily to a task of doing something, but to living the authentic Christian life, to trust, to be obedient, to be patient? What happens? I don't have the answers, God. But you know what? God has the answers to every question, to every challenge that you and I are going to face. And he invites us, as he does with Moses, to trust that God will be God, as we've sung in a number of songs and as Carmen has talked about, that God would be faithful. They're not going to believe me. God just simply asks you and I to live the authentic Christian life. It's up to him through the work of the Spirit to do the rest. I'm not a great speaker. But you know what? When you begin to talk and you begin to speak with authenticness and you begin to speak truth, it resonates. And I don't know about you, but I'm often leery of articulate speakers. He says, I'm not qualified. And that's what I love about this thing called the Christian life, is that God calls the unqualified and qualifies them. He doesn't call those who are already qualified. And when we begin to get out of the way, as Moses would begin to learn, it's amazing of what God can do in our story. The staff turning into a snake and turning from a snake into a staff was to inspire faith. Then he says, Moses, if you need more evidence, if you need another sign, if your faith needs to be encouraged, stick your hand into your cloak. And remember what happened, the passage said, and it came out and it was leprous. He would be defiled. He would be excluded from community. And then he says, put your hand back in, and it came out and it was clean. Isn't it interesting to know what God is doing? He was asking for the very source of his livelihood. By putting his hand in his cloak, he was asking for his very sense of community and belonging and identity. It seems to be something we hear later in Scripture, where it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. What he was asking of Moses was for God to trust him wholeheartedly and abundantly. And if that wasn't enough, he said, and if they still don't believe, if their faith is not yet encouraged, take some water and put it onto the ground and put down your staff and it will turn to blood. To serve God effectively, depend on his presence and strength. Be ready for difficulty. Be obedient to his commands. And work with willing people. What might God be calling you to this morning that is going to require you to step out in faith? What are the excuses which actually become a source of great strength? Martha, it keeps cutting out. Can you move me ahead a couple slides? There's a story of a young man who was going blind. And he ended up having surgery. And the surgery led to more darkness, which eventually led to him going totally blind. He was an architect. He loved his job. Nothing more in the world that he wanted to do. And soon it became clear that he would no longer be able to do his job. And then he came across another blind man who found and developed a way to read architecturally plans in Braille. At first, they wondered how it would work. His whole understanding of space had now changed. Now he, along with the company, began to look at rooms entirely differently. You see, he now felt the space of a room and how it was going to work rather than see. It led to a revolutionary way of them looking at how buildings were developed. What was often seen as a weakness became one of his greatest strengths. What is that thing that we use as an excuse from stepping out in faith like Moses? I'm not asking you to volunteer for something. I'm not asking you to do an incredible thing for God ministry-wise. But what is that thing in our story this morning that we keep making excuses for about living the authentic Christian life? Because the Bible throughout the scriptures say things like this. Live a life worthy of the gospel. Be ready to give an account of the hope that is in you. Live a life of mission. So let your light shine before man and they may see your Father in heaven. I believe this morning God is inviting us to throw down whatever it is this morning, whatever excuse that we might have this morning for living the authentic Christian life. Because God, like through the story of Israel, whose faith would be encouraged by all of these events, so too God's faithfulness in our story are inviting us this morning to something deeper. To something deeper in the understanding of the riches of God's love, but also in the way that it's lived out. And here's the amazing thing. God wants to do an incredible and a meaningful thing in your life and your walk with Him in this coming week. His desire is that in this coming week, you and I would become more holy. We'd become more dependent. We'd be more willing to step outside and walk in faith when we don't understand. Would we be able to claim those moments in life like Moses did with the staff, with the coat, with the rod turning water into blood? That God's got us. And to walk out in faith into the incredible things that God wants to do in my story. Let's pray together. I can't fathom, oh God, what it was like to be called to lead a stubborn, wayward, rebellious people. Who after sign after sign after sign after sign kept trying to do it on their own. But Lord, we thank you that you did not give up on Israel. You do not give up on us. We thank you for the story of the cross. We thank you for the shedding of your blood and through your death and through your resurrection. Lord, we give you thanks that you poured out your Spirit. And that through your Spirit, we are able to understand and believe and respond and walk in faith. And so, Lord, I pray that in this coming week, you would help us to do that very thing. To get out of the way. and to step into the place where you want us to be as individuals and as a church, and to watch, to be expectant of what you want to do in our story, and how you will help us and you will use us to be a place of hope and healing and inspiration. You will use us, oh God, to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus with those who need to hear it. That, Lord, as we spend time in your word and we pray and we walk in faith, our trust and our dependence in you will grow even more. And Lord, thank you that we get to do it together as a people. That we get to do that together as a church. Thank you for this church. Thank you for its desire to live out the faith in meaningful, tangible ways. Help us maybe for the first time, maybe for the millionth time, to lay down the staff in our life. And then to pick it up in faith, walking in your power and in your strength. As we think of that, Lord, we pray for Phil and Janetta and their work in Tanzania. We pray that you would bless their work in agriculture, in medicine. We pray that you would use them, Lord, to lead that community of faith into a deeper understanding of faith and of trust in you. We pray for Marianne and the Bolivian team as they serve in Bolivia. We thank you for their opportunity to work with children, to do prison ministry, or to not only bring hope, but bring food. Thank you for the visible representation of your church. We pray for the upcoming walk for the Out of the Cold program, of which some of us here at the church will participate in, as we join with churches across York Region to raise funds to caring for those who are in need. We thank you that we get to do that together. We pray for Carolyn, Lord, as she goes for an upcoming eye injection. We just pray that it would be successful. We pray that the effects that often can go with those injections days later would be minimal. We pray that you would strengthen her eyes. We pray that there would be continued success and progress in that. We pray for a calmness of spirit for her. Lord, we pray that you would be with Howard as he has this opportunity, Lord, to go to Holland for the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Holland from World War II. Pray that you would watch over his health and his travel as he goes there. And Lord, for the rest of us, may, Lord, as we look at moments like that, may we be mindful of the brokenness of our world, and Lord, of the lasting effects of wars. And that, Lord, we think of that not only in that physical, literal sense, but Lord, in those wars and those battles that we face each and every day. And that, Lord, that we can rest unshakably knowing that you are our only comfort in life and in death. And that as your people, we belong body and soul to you. That you are our comfort. And that in those moments we are knocked down, that we can stand because of the good news of the gospel. Thank you for your faithfulness and your love for us. In your name we pray. Amen.